Hi, I'm Paul Haggis, director of the film. Welcome to the film.
There you go. Yeah, DVD commentary.
Exactly. With me here are
Don Cheadle,
Bobby Maresco.
There you go. Producers. Ooh, that was cool.
I got to get something that spins or jumps out.
Yeah, I know. That would be cool. Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
That's Bobby's logo. It just says DEJ because, well.
Because BM is not the two initials you want on anything.
BM's a letter short.
Okay. Bullseye, that's also my company. Don't let them tell you it's anybody else's. Okay, it's Kathy's. This film, we released it at the, or took it to the Toronto Film Festival, and that's where Lionsgate picked this up, and we are thrilled that they did so. It was great.
I had a good run at the film festival with Lionsgate, in fact.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Picked up Rwanda, too.
That was great. See, it was a good festival for us. And this cut hasn't changed since the Toronto Film Festival, so this is the same thing that previewed on opening night there.
When I first saw this, when this was being shot, I really had no idea how it was all going to come together, and really the textures and the sort of mood that this would add. And Mark Isham's music has really, you know, given it such the feel that I didn't get from just seeing the visuals.
That was very thoughtful, Don. Is that what the whole commentary is going to be like? The very thoughtful things?
If they keep giving me the notes, I'm going to keep saying what's written on the paper. Is that inside the camera, too? That was like a reflection inside there?
No. There's a roll on the camera lens. Yeah. So, yes, inside the lens.
Inside the lens,
yeah.
Rather.
Larry Bennett is the production designer, and it's wonderful. I've worked with him for many years.
Yay.
Yeah, Jimmy did a great job.
It's the sense of touch.
What?
Any real city, you walk, you know? You brush past people, people bump into you. In L.A., nobody touches you. We're always behind this metal and glass. I think we miss that touch so much that we crash.
The film, all in all, took 35 days to shoot. Actually, 36. We had a bit of a rough spot somewhere along the way.
I think he hit his head.
This scene,
that's true.
We had to shoot the first night and come back and finish the second night. It was a hellacious night, wasn't that, Don?
Yeah, that was, and it was cold.
Yeah.
We almost didn't have to fake the snow.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go look for it.
Calm down, ma'am.
I am calm.
But I need to see your registration and insurance.
Why? Not my fault. It's her fault. She did this. My fault.
Ma'am.
On the black and white and come out of that into the color, that was. But it looked like it was all the colors completely bled out.
We did a digital intermediate on this, and so we affected all the colors in post, in which we were able to go in and out of black and white, or to change saturation, or to change the hue of each shot, or to give each scene its own feel.
Write down your report. How shocked I am to be hit by an Asian driver.
Ma'am,
no. See, it's detective. I'm not carrying your car.
It was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I woke up with the idea for this. After having been, it was 10 years before I was carjacked, and these kids just wouldn't leave my mind. And so I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and started writing about them. And then about 10 o'clock in the morning, we had a bunch of stories. I didn't know what the heck it was. And I called up Bobby and said, "Bobby, I got a bunch of pages here. I don't know what the heck it is. It might be a movie." And we got together, and And knocked it out pretty fast, didn't we, Bobby?
Knocked it out very fast. I think the first draft was just a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks. But Paul had a real nice, clean outline in terms of what the movie was going to be. And he said to me, nobody will pay us to write this thing, and then when we're done, nobody will make it. I said, that sounds good.
Let's get Don Cheadle.
Let's get Don Cheadle.
As long as there's no money here.
The casting process was tough. It took us a year and a half. And, I mean, Don was, we sent it to Don, when was it, January? Before?
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah, and so he was the first person we sent it to. And we knew if he could get done, he could attract a cast because he's the kind of actor all other actors want to work with. And so we asked him to produce the film with us as well because we're not dumb. And he came on, as you know, and he's the reason we have this cast. He and fabulous casting directors.
Great casting directors.
And when you say tough, when Paul says tough, I think we're talking about tough in terms of schedule. Most every actor who read the script responded to it. It was a scheduling thing that made it really tough, don't you think, Paul?
It was, but also people didn't know who the hell I was, and so they weren't going to go out and say, oh, let's do the film by the guy who did Facts of Life. So,
you know. One actor said that, and we passed on that actor.
Yeah. This is Jack, who we've worked with before on Easy Streets and a lot of other shows. He's a wonderful actor.
Yeah.
Jack McGee.
Good guy. Now he's on Rescue Me, right?
Rescue Me is fabulous on Rescue Me.
Good actor.
And our casting directors found Bahar here and Sean. We brought them back about 10 times to read, didn't we?
Back. Yeah. And
I had a vision of somebody in Sean's role, in the role of Farhad, who is a large man, a rotund guy. And Sean came in, he was so thin and wiry, I couldn't, and finally we said, well, let's go to the best actor. And he was fabulous in this role.
Yeah, I really did a good job.
Yes, you really did. Oh, we got a lot of guns. Everybody scored. In
I just wanted him to be, Lars just wanted him to feel like he was working class, like he had like big hands, like he had sort of a farmer's build, or a peasant's build. And Sean looked more like he worked for the KGB. But we did a lot. The makeup people did fabulous work on him. They aged him by about 15 years. And I gave him that sort of really lived-in look. Man who's really worked his whole life and has seen a lot. It was amazing what Ben did with that, our makeup man, Ben Nye.
Did you see any white people in there waiting an hour and 32 minutes for a plate of spaghetti? Huh? And how many
did you think about that cut before?
Yeah, I planned these transitions. Yeah, the door to door. And actually, there were a few more, but it just got to be too tricky looking, so I cut them out. But I thought it was important in the transitions to say these people are all connected somehow.
Right.
Did you notice that our waitress was black?
And black women don't think in stereotypes? You tell me something, man. When was the last time you met one who didn't think she knew everything about your little lazy ass before you even opened your mouth? Huh? That waitress sized us up in 2 seconds. We're black.
And Bobby and I didn't set out to actually write anything about race or about intolerance or about prejudice. We actually just started following these characters around. And we early on were intrigued by the notion of how strangers affect other strangers. And one way you judge a stranger is that he looks different or she looks different than you. And so the cast became black and Persian and Hispanic and white and Asian. And luckily we got terrific actors.
Wait. See what that woman just did? You see that?
Why, she's cold.
This was the first scene when I read the script that I went, oh, okay, I want to do this. It was just going, please keep it up, you know, don't drop it. And it just, you know, continued all the way through. But this was the scene between these two that really made me want to do the movie.
It was a tough scene because Bobby and I writing, you go, they're setting themselves up so much. They're just so out there saying these things and you go, oh, please, let's leave the theater now.
They got to jack somebody after all of this.
Exactly. And so we knew we were going. So, you know.
By the trigger happy LAPD. So you tell me. Why aren't we scared?
Because we got guns?
You could be right.
But what I also think is great is there's so much truth in what, you know, in what Chris is saying in this whole scene. You know,
yes.
It's so right on the nose. And then to have that dude, the conscious dude, be the carjacker, I love it.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to try to always put as much truth into your humor as possible. It was important for us that in the rehearsals that these guys knew each other since they were like 6 or 7 years old, because that's one of the questions I asked myself. And after I was carjacked, I wondered who these guys were. I mean, how long they'd known each other? Were they best friends? You know, where they just meet that night. And so we decided they'd known each other since they were 6 or 7, and so that took a lot of rehearsal time.
Pickup cuts in front, driver of the Mercedes gets pissed, pulls a gun, doesn't realize the guy in the pickup is a cop coming off shift.
Wait a minute, this Barry Gibb dude is a cop?
Yeah, name's Conklin. He's a narc out of Wilshire.
I got the Mercedes.
Mercedes takes a shot at him, Detective Conklin returns fire, one shot, Mercedes rolls to a stop, driver opens the door, falls out dead.
He looks very relaxed for just having shot someone.
That's Kathleen York right there, Bird York, who actually sings a song at the end of the movie.
Fabulous, wonderful actress and yes. Terrific writer.
Also on West Wing.
They just heard two bangs.
Find me a witness.
Yeah, she wrote that song for us when we were writing the script in the Deep. She wrote that. It was the first thing that we asked her to write something, and we sent her the script, and she wrote. I'd worked with her quite a bit on some of my television shows, and I knew what unique voice she had, and she's a fabulous songwriter.
Yeah, I remember when you called me and said, listen to this, I was blown away.
Looks like Detective Conklin shot himself the wrong nigga.
And that's my next door neighbor.
Who is a serial killer?
Yeah. I kept saying to the extras casting, get me a guy who looks like Martin. This guy from lives next door to me. And I said, well, why don't we just get Martin? So he did it for us.
Did an excellent job, Martin. Congratulations.
Michael Pena was a real find. That was
arguably the best thing in the movie.
You know, Randy and Sarah, our casting directors, found him, and I knew from the moment he walked in that he was our guy. Took a lot of work. He's very raw. You know, getting him through the rehearsal process and stuff, which is great. I mean, he was so open, and he had such great talent, and it was wonderful working with him.
I didn't know he was the guy, actually.
Oh yeah,
and that was a big.
Oh, that's right.
I know we went back and forth on that a lot, and thankfully the right choice was made because he was really strong.
Yeah. Not to treat me like a child. I'm sorry, Miss Jean. It's okay, I go home.
Dad was in the casting every step of the way, right from the very beginning. He was with us, and it was the three of us and Kathy Schulman, right, were in there, and Mark Harris. There's so many people on this side of the casting, this side of the camera, that it was hard to get in the room for the actors.
Prison tattoo.
Those are not prison tattoos.
Oh, really? And he's not going to go sell our key to one of his gangbanger friends the moment he is out.
Now, people have said to me, what a terrific performance you got out of Sandra Bullock. And the truth is, I did absolutely nothing. I came in, and we turned on the... We talked about... We did a little bit of rehearsal, Bobby and I, with her. We just read through the script a couple of times, and then set her loose, and she stepped up and did this. We just held our breath. It was amazing.
I couldn't agree more. Sandy came to play, knew just what she wanted to do, and just was ready to go every time Paul said action.
If you acted like you actually gave a shit!
What kills me is how many of her that I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's just unapologetic. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, she really took to it and just went for it, which is great.
Yeah, we love that look.
I love that look Michael gives her. It's just so subtle.
All right, what do we got? Talk to me, Karen.
It was fabulous working with Brendan. He brings such originality to the role. Every time we did a take, it was something different. There's something he'd find some nuance, something to work with this character. And it was I thought he and Sandy made a terrific couple.
I'm gonna lose a Law and Order vote.
Yeah, I think you're worrying too much. We have a lot of support in the black community.
All right, if we can't duck this thing, we're gonna have to neutralize it. What we need is a picture of me pinning a medal on a black man. Bruce, firefighter.
Yeah, Nona Gay.
So many people have asked me about, you know, were they having an affair in this?
We're going to answer that at the end of this DVD.
Are we? Good. I can't wait because I had no answer for them.
His name's Saddam. Oh, that's real good, Bruce. Yeah, I'm going to pin a medal on an Iraqi named Saddam.
I love this.
Give yourself a raise, will you?
Okay, here we are in Studio City. That was my house, by the way, we were in that last scene.
Yes, nice house.
Thank you. This is Studio City, and this is Carney's Hot Dogs on Ventura Boulevard. Another cold night.
Been to the clinic 3 times in the last month. He is being treated for urinary tract infection. That is by no means an emergency.
Matt delivered big time in this role.
He was so good in this.
Why don't you make it? And it's been good for so long. Yeah. I mean, you know, when he started, he was 11 or something.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the thing about Matt that makes, you know, for me, that makes it so wonderful, he's so unlike this character. It took him a couple of days to get underneath that skin, but once we started, you know, during rehearsals, once we started shooting, boy, he had it.
Yeah. And she was great, too.
Oh, Loretta Devine, fabulous actress.
Yeah, there was a slight reluctance from him, to really do it.
You know, I can't tell you how many times during rehearsals I'd look at him and he was in pain trying to get underneath this guy.
Yeah.
But he caught it.
Ryan Phillippe. I'd worked with Ryan in Canada on Due South when he was like 18 or 19 years old. And so I thought of him when we were doing this, and I knew it, he'd be wonderful in the role.
No, I dig him. I've always liked Ryan's work.
Yeah. And he was great in this.
That's not it. That's not the vehicle, John. The plates don't match. The driver's got to be 40 and nobody checks.
Yeah, no, this is something we really wanted to do. We really wanted to shoot in L.A. because it was a character in the film. And early on, the financiers and others, not our financiers, but other financiers who'd come to us said, okay, we can shoot this in Toronto, or we shoot in Prague, or shoot it wherever.
Prague for L.A.
Exactly. Any place. Australia, any place that would be cheaper. And we just said, no, it's, we have to shoot it here. And this, you know, it's just that Studio City again, and it's just off Ventura Boulevard. It's just important for us that we had the feel of the city, because it was about Los Angeles.
And it's a give and take with everything. I mean, as a director, Paul could have said, sure, give me 15 more days and I'll go elsewhere and we'll get what we want. But he accepted less days to get this look and this feel of Los Angeles. And it made a huge difference, I think, Paul. It was a great decision.
This actually is right outside the CBS Radford Studios, MTM, where I did 30-something. So you pull off Ventura onto Radford.
Right there under Radford, right?
Yeah.
Right past Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to reach inside of the glove compartment to get the registration. Is that okay?
Nice and slow, please.
It was important for this location that it found safety just a half a block away. So you have Ventura there with all the lights and that. And then there's this little dark side street where anything could happen.
Excellent.
That's been a kind of a crazy spot in Los Angeles for a long time. It's kind of a secret back. We won't talk about that on the... things do go down back there behind that studio. And,
that's so funny,
John. What kind of things?
I will talk about them off of the DVD. Terrence Howard, Tandy Newton. What about that pairing?
Amazing.
Forget about it.
Amazing. I called Tandy up. She was the first person I called for that role. I just begged her. She was up shooting Riddick. I said, I wrote this for you. You know, Bobby and I imagined you in this from the beginning. Would you please do this for us? And we sent her the script, and she said, and we said, oh, please. And she said, okay. Terrence, this role was originally going to be played by Forrest Whitaker, but Forrest couldn't get out of his commitments. He was doing post on First Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so couldn't do it. And then when he fell out, I'd seen Terrence in that Bruce Willis film. Heart's War, Greg Hoplit directed. And he was so wonderful in it. And so I asked him to bring him in. And he's amazing in this. It was just, I can't imagine anybody else in this role now.
Yeah, no, he did a tremendous job.
Interlock your fingers.
That's
hands
not
on
even
your
necessary.
Head, interlock your fingers.
Look,
here
I'm a
go.
Television director. Oh! And me and my wife are just coming home from an
get
award
your
show.
Calm down.
Nothing wrong.
Put your hands on top of your head, man.
This is probably the hardest scene for me to shoot and to watch. Something I never wanted to get to. And, of course, as a director, you keep trying to schedule those things at the end. And the AD keeps bringing them up. And it was just so hard to watch this scene and realize that we were responsible for it and where it goes. The humiliation and the violence of this.
Nobody in this scene enjoyed this day of shooting, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, no, it was difficult for everyone.
2 days shooting.
2 days of shooting.
Yeah, it went on forever, this.
Places I found weapons.
He's clean.
Yeah, this is a very, very difficult scene to shoot.
What do you think we should do about this, Mr. Thayer? My partner and I just witnessed your wife performing fellatio on you while you were operating a motor vehicle.
I think the fact that the way Matt plays this, it's so matter of fact. It's so, I'm doing you a favor, that we're just having a conversation between two men here. This is just logic. And it's the fact that it just makes it so much more chilling, the fact that it's so banal.
Music helps too.
Yeah, Mark's music, fabulous.
We can cuff you and put you in the back of the car.
This was another scene that when I read the script, I was like, I hope this comes off, because it was really disturbing on paper.
Yeah, it was disturbing on paper. It was disturbing to shoot. This is the one that haunts me. We're
sorry. And you look what these actors bring to it, the life and the truth that they bring to it is amazing.
Yeah. Just let us go with a warning, please.
Yeah. Love this moment.
Matt's apologizing, Tommy. I think we can let him go. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the way he says, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in that one word, there was just layers of everything he felt about Matt's character at that point.
Yeah.
You folks drive safe now, huh?
Yeah, Jimmy's lighting in this was particularly good, too.
Jimmy did a tremendous job under tough circumstances.
Just took a great, we tried to find that one pool of light. It was under a street light is what he tried to give us the impression of, the sort of one pool, and everything else was sort of dangerous beyond. And they did a gorgeous job. I also noticed that we shot directly into lights a lot in this film. We really planned the shot so that the lights would be behind the camera. Directly in front of the camera, and so that you'd get halation. It was just something that Jimmy and I discussed early on. We wanted the feel of that in Los Angeles you always have to squint, even if it's in nighttime. This Larry Bennett, our production designer, built. This is a set we actually a set on location. We found an empty store, and built all this.
It won't close.
And as Larry will tell you, we had about $1.25 to do the production design on this, to build that wall right there and fill the stuff up. It was.
He actually stole everything from another store.
Yeah. Now this is interesting. This room here, this is location, we had a lot of different plot lines, so we really had to. Moving all over the city, and we got to a point where we had to shoot. We knew because of the schedule we had to shoot this scene and Officer Ryan's home, Matt Dillon's home, nearby. And so I said, I walked in this house and I looked around. I said, okay, it's the same house. This is Ryan's house and this is their house. In fact, not only the same house, it's the same room. This bedroom is actually Terrence and Tandy's and Matt Dillon's. We just painted the three walls red, and it became their room. And the wall right there is where Matt's bed is. We just put a white flat up, and the rest of the halls are white. So when you walk out, it becomes Matt Dillon's house. Just because we didn't have time to move.
I mean, sooner or later, you got to find out what it is.
But that's what happens, I think. Having those kind of limitations makes you very inventive. You have to get inventive because you haven't got the money.
I think that you need those limitations. I mean, how many movies do we see that suffer from just excess?
Yes.
In a big way. Absolutely.
My God, these guys were great in this scene. Tandy, look at her.
You sure is mighty kind to us poor black folk. You be sure to let me know next time you want to finger fuck my wife.
I don't
fuck do you say something like that to me?
That pause. That's great.
No, fuck you.
That's good. A little anger. It's a bit late, but it's nice to see.
Did he sleep on the couch that night, or she sleep on the couch that night? Did he go stay with friends? I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He slept on a couch, and she sold the couch the next morning.
This is Eagle Rock, another area of Los Angeles.
Great scene.
Yeah.
We originally had a couple of days scheduled to do this scene, and when we cast the little girl here, I said, no, we're not going to need that long. She's going to do it right off. And so the AD said, no, we really need 2 days to be safe. And we shot this scene on her side in half a day. She was just fabulous.
She's a pro, man.
Oh, she's great. She and Michael were wonderful together. Michael's great in this scene. The direction I gave to Michael here, because at first he was... he tended, like all the other actors, to talk down to the child like you do. And I said, no, you're talking to a guy in a bar, right? And, you know, when you have to admit that the thing about, you know, the fairies and things, you know, he's just, imagine yourself in a bar. He went, oh, great. And he did it great. Just, yeah. And he was just fabulous.
Yeah, that's a trap in a scene to be thinking you're talking to a child and it's all made up.
Yeah. Again, Mark's music, amazing.
What if they don't?
They're both just so matter of fact. That's what makes this scene work so well. Yeah. Is that there's the sentimentality is not, you know, I mean, that's you read these scenes and that's what's scary, because it could just be cloying and dripping, and it's, they're just talking to each other.
Yeah.
And when you have kids, it's, this scene just kills you.
What?
Nah, forget it. You ain't gonna believe me.
Tell me.
Okay.
Sizing her up. Can I trust you with this? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, can I tell you this?
This fairy came into my room one night.
She right. Right. You
know, okay, go to sleep now, you little
don't
rat.
Tell me.
Okay. So this fairy comes into my room, and I'm like...
It's like, if you tell any of the guys, I'm going to beat you.
Right.
Talking, you know? And she's flying all around the room, knocking down all my posters and stuff.
She was flying?
Yeah, but she had these little stubby wings. I mean, she could have glued them on, you know? Like, I'm gonna believe she's a fairy. So she said, I'll prove it. So she reaches into her backpack. And she pulls out this invisible cloak. She ties it around my neck. And she tells me that it's impenetrable.
This scene was 7 pages long, Bobby? Something like that?
Yeah, this is a long scene.
And people said when we first ordered, oh, you can't just stop the entire movie for a 7-page scene. Two people sitting under, you know, talking. I said, oh, yeah, you can.
It could have been a 14-page long scene. We would have watched it.
Yeah.
It's the relationship between the two of them that's just so strong.
She
you know?
Told me that I was supposed to give it to my daughter on her 5th birthday, and I forgot.
Can I touch it?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't feel it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh? If you want, I can take it off and tie it around your shoulder. She told me how to do it. Unless you think it's stupid, then...
Don't you need it?
No, not anymore.
Oh, my gosh, she's so good.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You want it?
Just so natural, everything mm-hmm. she does. Look at that. She's considering it. And I love this next scene. She takes a pulls around.
Let's get out of here.
You see, you had to create the illusion that he would really had the cape on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then she does that. She, and look at her. She's looking for it.
She's going for it completely.
Yeah. And then he's, look at this, how specific he is.
Yeah. And tie the knot here.
Yeah. Because then she believes it. It's him.
On.
Yeah.
I said, then you've got to move the
make
hair.
Make sure you lift the hair. Exactly.
You
too? Yeah. And he sees it. And so he sees it. We see it.
That's right.
Can you touch your tongue? Do you feel anything at all?
Love the way he kisses her too. Just.
Now here, from the close-up to the wide, to the master, nobody told her
to
rub her eye. Nobody told her to match.
No one. She just did
that's
it automatically.
Scary.
Yeah, that's scary. That's
scary.
Right,
she's such a pro. Yeah.
It's like, slow down, sweetheart.
Yeah, but you didn't have to tell her anything.
Okay. Good night, sweetie.
Good night.
I love this. She's stroking the cape. It's touching as soon as she can feel it. If you'll notice, that light switch was already down.
Nice catch.
Yeah. We had to go into post and add that little little light there on the pager. Ah, the music. I love this song.
It's my movement. About to change.
Yep. This is Ollie Nathan and his band, Movement.
Nah, you want to listen to music out of your presser, you go right ahead, man.
The fluency of your mind is hip-hop music of the oppressor.
Okay, so the theory behind this. Yeah, this is written in 2000. It was before Bill Cosby came out with his whole rant, you know, what's happening with rap music and stuff. But we just asked ourselves, you know, when I was a young man, that I was reading Ramparts Magazine and Soul on Ice and all this this terrific thought that was coming out of the Black Panther Party. And, you know, and then we had all these fabulous, articulate African-American writers and speakers and leaders, civic leaders in the 60s and 70s. And then all of a sudden, just we had this period where they just didn't seem to have any. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I wonder why that was.
Maybe a lot of them got killed.
Yes, exactly. And chased out of the country.
And chased.
Oh, yeah, they were hiding. And oh, yeah, like they were just, and I said, wow, you know what? The FBI, Contelpro, they really, really wanted to shut these people up. I said, you know what? Okay. As silly as this sounds, I'm going to put this in his mouth because it's not that silly.
Not necessarily that far of a stretch.
No, I don't think it is.
Holy shit.
What?
Man, we done ran over a Chinaman.
You can't say that. And then not over and over and over again.
I know. Another Chinaman. The fascinating in the discussion of this afterwards, too, because we specifically decided we cast, you know, two Korean people and then decided to call them Chinaman, because that's what we do in America. We sort of lump all groups together. All, you know, Asians are Chinese, you know, no matter what they are. They're sort of the Chinese, we think, or the Japanese. We don't really differentiate and can't tell the difference anyways. And so we decided to cast Koreans and then call them, you know, Chinese all the way through. And now, you know, I've seen on, you know, like message boards and things that people actually think they're Chinese. And so I don't know if I've done anybody any favors in doing this, but it was something important we wanted to say, is that we tend to lump all groups together. You see it later on with the Persians and Arabs. And they're all Arabs. You know, everybody in the Middle East is Arabs. So it's I think it gets under the skin of a lot of people here.
I don't want to cause any problems, Lieutenant.
Now, this scene, man.
Keith Davis.
Did Keith kill this scene or what?
Yeah, great.
Well, he's been on the force for a long time.
There's Arnold in the background.
He is.
I actually signed that to Paul from Arnold before I put it up on the wall.
This is another example of really great writing, this sort of cyclical logic where you can't, there's no win. You can't get out of it. It is, you know.
Yeah. We just got this. It's a no good deed goes unpunished syndrome.
That's right.
You know, every time you this poor guy Ryan, he just wants to do the right thing through the entire film. He just wants to do the right thing, and every place he goes, everywhere he does, he gets stopped somehow. Right. It's always stopped by ways he would never think he'd be stopped. Here he's doing the right thing. He's reporting us to his African American lieutenant, and that's a problem.
Absolutely.
So you think I'm asking you to make one up?
No, sir. I just can't think of one.
You're just trying to get out of the scene. Let me think of a better excuse and get back to you.
I heard it was a case of uncontrollable flatulence.
You want me to say yes, flatulence?
Not him, you. You have uncontrollable flatulence. You're too embarrassed to ride with anybody else, so you're requesting a one-man car.
I'm not comfortable with that, Lieutenant.
Well, I wouldn't be either. Which is why I understand you.
This is a set, again, that Larry did for us. This was a... This was the American Red Cross in the Valley. We couldn't shoot at an actual police station because they were just too busy and too expensive to shut one down. So we had to create one. And
embarrassing problem.
In that last scene in his office, we couldn't afford a fourth wall, so we just shot against three walls. But yeah, the brick facade and stuff really, really helped here. And this, I was at school. Oh, that's brutal.
Ouch.
Yeah, you wanted that sound to be just enough so people went, oh, again. And Larry did that. Yeah, and then Larry put the nativity scene in. But, a lot of this came up. It was just these just characters just came to me in the middle of the night.
Excuse me, sir.
You finish?
I replaced the lock, but you got a real problem with that door.
Iranian pop music in the background. It was great. It took actually quite a while finding that, didn't we, Bobby?
I like the dude's first cut a little better. I mean, this one's nice, but the one he had on his first album, the single off the first album, is really hot.
It's a girl, actually.
Yeah, it's her too.
New door? Yeah.
Okay. How much?
I don't... Sir, you're gonna have to...
Yeah, this the misunderstanding here, I think, is key to the film. It's like we're just two people really just want to communicate. And for the assumptions that they have about each other. This guy's always a guy who's been cheated. Everyone cheats him. And this guy just wants to go home, to do the work and go home.
But you think I'm stupid? You fix the...
But in a lot of ways, it cuts to the essential dilemma in the entire movie. These are two people who are not unlike each other, working class people, fathers trying to take care of their families. They should see eye to eye, but for whatever reason, they don't.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't pay. What? Have a good night.
That's the third time somebody's poked somebody in the chest, too.
You fix the lock! Come here, you fix my lock!
It's building.
This isn't Hollywood. Not the best area.
You run over a Chinaman.
Dotto. Yeah. Oh, Dotto is great.
Yeah.
Share in the experience.
Come on, man. It's a little bit of blood. It'll wash right off.
Georgie, burn this thing.
Yeah. Burn it. It's a brand new...
Again, just an empty garage. And, Larry created this chop shop for us.
Good shit on that channel.
Every night.
Not a lot.
This took so many takes. It was just, I drove him, poor Dotto, nuts doing this.
But he's great.
He's fabulous in it.
He really is.
Yeah, we cast him at the last second, too. We weren't thinking of a Russian. We were just looking for a good actor. And he came in and went, wow, that's great.
I think the movement helps the scene a lot. With a long speech like that in a piece of cinema, it could get...
Yeah. This is his idea. He's just laying down there. Oh, that's kind of cool. And I love this look. What's he doing? What's he want?
So we got this confidential conversation. Get the fuck out of here.
I love Lorenz in the background going, yeah. What's going on here?
No.
Then get the fuck out of my show.
Hey, come down here. I want to tell you something pretty confidential. Exactly. Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. I love this.
Without him, things could have gone really fucking wrong tonight.
Oh, here we go.
Don't you dare.
Don?
I have nothing to say. Just trying to keep my marriage together, homie.
This is actually a tough scene to shoot. It was like 6 hours.
Look, he'll be home when you... Just leave it alone, Mom. Mom, I can't talk to you right now, okay? I'm having sex with a white woman. Okay, where were we?
I was white, and you were about to jerk off in the shower.
Oh, shit.
She suddenly went very, very quiet during the scene.
I would have said you were Mexican, but I don't think it would have pissed her off as much.
Oh, yeah. This came from, this came from straight over our heads, but when we were, casting us, you know, we'd bring actors in and we'd talk about, you know, their feelings and about people and try to get down to the truth of what the people actually feel. And there was one Hispanic actor who claimed to love everyone equally and have no prejudice and toward any group. I said, okay, so where are you from? He said, well, Salvador, and I have mothers from Guatemala. I said, okay. So I said, if I was to call you Mexican, he goes, I ain't no fucking Mexican. So that thing you were saying, he said, well, yes.
I'm just saying.
I'm not fucking Mexican.
I'm saying I don't like people. You know, I like all people, but you said Mexican. That's different.
Exactly.
Everybody has something gets under their skin. You know? there. So this is the same room. There's the doors on the right that we're shooting through when we were at Terrence's room, Terrence and Tandy's. And this is the hallway, which was just, we left white. It still was hot.
Pop, you okay? If I could piss, I'd be okay.
Bruce Kirby.
Bruce is wonderful in this.
Yeah.
Father of Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno Kirby. We read the script at...
the actor's Jim Bobby's the theater. Actor,
exactly. And Bruce read this role, and Paul said right away from the get, he's the guy that has to do this.
Yeah.
And really did a great job.
So sad.
Yeah, I love him.
Look at that face. Look at the humanity. He's been around for all time with that face.
Yeah.
Wait. Stop.
It's one of those places where people sometimes laugh nervously in the theater and go, oh I shouldn't. Then they go, should I laugh at that?
Right. No. Especially when he says you're going to stand there.
I love that. I love when people laugh and then ask themselves if they should have or not.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after your scene where they go, oh, I shouldn't have laughed at that.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest laughs in the movie.
Oh, huge laugh.
And then followed by a ooh.
Oh, exactly.
A groan.
Yeah. The same here. People are like thinking, oh, it's funny. And then they see Matt's face and go, oh, look at this man in pain. And for the first time, we start to see this man as a human being. Oh, again, Mark's music.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
Beautiful.
Ventura Boulevard, was it?
Yeah, Ventura Boulevard. Dawn. It's Dawn and Ventura Boulevard. Like, I think it was wintertime, so it was around 5:36, 30, something like that. 5:36. Again, this is the storage room Larry built.
Conklin just shot him.
Mm-hmm. This is
as far as we can tell.
LA City Hall.
You think this is racially motivated?
Masquerading for the courtroom.
What do we have on it?
But the LA City Hall looks so much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's none of these gorgeous rooms and shots like this.
No,
marble and
I just wanted this feeling of power, this grandeur.
I've heard, anyway. I've never seen the inside of that.
This is Venice, California. We're just off Venice there.
Mm-hmm.
You calling him a thief? And we do what?
The man steals from black people. Only reason black people steal from their own is because they terrify the white people.
Oh, man, please.
Think about it. Sherman Oaks, Burbank, Santa Monica, all scary-ass places for a brother to find himself. Now drop Mofat off at a Starbucks in Toluca Lake, that nigga will run like a rabbit. Soon as somebody say decaf latte. What the fuck did you do to my car?
And welcome back to my house. We used my house because we couldn't afford a real house. So
That's a real house.
Yeah,
I
know.
Just couldn't afford to trash somebody else's real house.
Couldn't afford to rent anything. So we said, oh, we'll use my house. And I told my wife this. She went, what? We're shooting here? Yeah, it'll be good.
You know, Maria, just once I would like to wake up and find these dishes in the cabinet.
I see, Senora. No problem.
She actually broke two of those dishes. Thanks, Sandy.
I'm starting to understand now. By your work, you're setting an example for our neighborhood. Sort of like a big brother kind of thing, right?
yeah, you laugh, man. But you have never seen me steal from a black person ever in your life.
Yeah, again in Venice.
What the hell do you think you're doing right now, man?
Waving down the bus.
Man, put your hand down, dog. Are you out of your mind? You actually expect me to get on a bus?
No, I was hoping we could push your car across town. You know why? Because we just don't do stuff like that no more.
Timing of this scene with that bus pulling up with the real traffic going up. So, I love him in this.
Yeah, he does a great job here.
One reason only, to humiliate the people of color who are reduced to riding on it.
I don't know that.
And you know, you can fill the Staples Center with what you don't know.
Oh, you know,
I love this next bit.
You don't like hockey. The only reason you say you do is to piss me off.
Love hockey.
Really gets under his skin. Really gets under his skin. You can see it.
Is my daughter Amanda Maresco, the AD?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Tony Danza. Cameo. Great job.
Tony was great in this.
Tony really delivered.
I called Tony up and said, because I'd worked with him before, and said, Tony, I'm doing a movie. I've got a scene. You want to do it? And he said, yes. I said, you want to read it? He said, no. I just want to do it. He said, if you're writing it, I want to do it. We loved working together. And so I sent him the scene. He said, yeah, oh, this is really sick. So I want to do this. But, you know, it's I wanted someone who could embody this villainy. This very subtle.
Very subtle.
Villainy.
And so there.
Oh, it's wonderful.
This is one of my favorite scenes in a movie.
This is Jimmy's idea. Jimmy Murrow did this for me. And I said, oh, man, thank you. This, right here.
Is there a problem, Cam?
Is there a problem as we descend into hell?
Exactly.
Boom.
Right here is what the whole movie's about.
Jimmy did so much of that in this film. He just added so many touches like that. They went, oh, wow, cool.
Smart one, not Jamal, right? I mean, you're the expert here. But to me, it rings false.
I mean, you're the expert here.
You being
on
black
all things
and all.
Black.
Exactly. Yeah, except do it exactly the way I say.
Yeah. Your black ass will be on the street.
Uh-huh.
Jamal,
And then this conversation, too, I would have loved to hear.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It just, I'm not, like, I wasn't missing it in the movie. It's just one of those scenes of like, oh, yeah, now what does he go tell Jamal?
Exactly.
Have a walk-in, Mr. Ryan?
I love that look.
Send him in.
Oh, yeah.
Real happy to be doing
really want
to
talk to him.
Exactly.
My name is Shaniqua.
This was the first day of shooting, and this was tough because it was one of Matt's biggest speeches. And we said, launch straight in, do it. And sometimes you try to ease actors in. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't. This is what we just had to say. Matt, sorry, but we're doing this big scene day one.
Let's
and
go.
He did it. Dug in. The two of them just did it.
Now, and he just keeps getting worse.
And he's been back to see Dr. Robbins.
We chose this room because we wanted that that pole in the background, actually.
The cross, right?
The cross. Yeah, I have these crosses all through this film. There's one in the background. And we... So we stuffed them into this tiny room because we had this telephone pole just out of the back.
And if this new doctor says it's not an infection.
What's in the background of the shot? So important to me often. Just someone, no one notices but me.
What good is that going to do?
I'm sorry. There's nothing else I can do.
All right. Well, you know what I can't do?
This came from a piece of hate mail that I received when I was on doing a television show, Family Law. And I... this fellow said, why is it that in television it's always the white people who are the villains and the black people are the heroes? And let me tell you a story about my dad. And he told this story.
My father doesn't deserve to suffer like this. He was a janitor. He struggled his whole life, saved enough to start his own company. 23 employees, all of them black, paid him equal wages when no one else was doing that. For 30 years, he worked side by side with those men, sweeping and carrying garbage.
I thought it was so fascinating that this great guy, this who was his dad, who was this wonderful man, could have lived his life and been the best example he could have been to his son. And despite all that, and because of all that, his son becomes a racist. Wow. That's an interesting story.
A man who lost everything so people like yourself could reap the benefits.
Because he's a much smaller man than his dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just a flick of your pen.
I remember writing back to him, because I wrote back to all my hate mail, and just said what a great man his dad was, and how proud he must have been to him. I just
don't respond to anything, yeah.
No, I just said it was just,
a real shame. Get him
to just how proud he must have been of him.
I love where he walked through that red, because it looked like he was just on fire for a second.
Yeah. And another door-to-door. That we created that. Again, Larry just put that door there. That door wasn't there, the glass door. And because I wanted it to go from one door to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Are you all right?
Shirinju, stop washing. Insurance must...
So it's actually just a door hanging in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. They look like family. That's a trip.
Don't they? And we're in the
air. They really favor.
Yeah.
They think they're Arab.
Please, you come see my store.
When did Persian become Arab?
I want his name. Yes,
oh, my God.
I want his name.
Dad.
Give me his name.
Dad.
I'm not giving you his name, sir.
Dad.
Molly Schaefer. It's fabulous.
Yeah. terrific character.
I just gave, put her in this getup and said,
pick your belly button lint.
She just did this. It was her choice. It was such a brilliant choice.
It's crazy.
So then I said, oh, we're just going to shoot this and just start rolling it. We got it quickly. It was one of those choices. It was great. You love it when actors bring you things like that. You go, oh, what a choice. Because if a director comes to you and says, pick your belly button lint, it's not something you're going to do.
Exactly.
This is actually my favorite shot in the film, or one of them. I love this whole sequence. The discovery. Mm-hmm. This is with the piano and the way you touch it, and old times, and then mom.
Beverly. Yeah. Just terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Eavesdropping, you know.
This is the shot of love. Just the two of you just framed there. It says so much.
Mom, it's cold. Come on.
Love the way you deal with her.
That was you. I was angrier. And you said, no, just cap it a little more. Sit on it.
It was painful. It's one of those painful scenes in the movie. You just love your mom so much. You know.
Did you find your brother?
Seeing that in your eyes, that...
disappointment.
Right there. That's the part that Bobby had me. He said, extend this moment just a little bit.
Yeah, the recognition between the two.
Yeah, I see what you see, and I see
exactly.
You see it.
I was doing real good.
Yeah. When you guys owned that moment, it changed the scene. What a great face.
Mm.
Did you find your brother?
It's amazing. 10 years before this, we were both on an episode of Hill Street Blues.
Oh, yeah?
And she played my mother.
Oh, no. That's
right.
Wow.
I'm not mad. Okay?
And it was a quite dysfunctional family in that one, too.
I imagine.
Okay, baby. Okay.
Can't remember, but I thought he was going to be good. I wasn't sure. I was a little worried about him.
Yeah, he's really difficult, though.
No, yeah. He's a comer, though.
He can't play basketball.
Okay, except he likes to smoke in movies.
He's a smoker.
These are clove cigarettes or something. What are they? Cloves?
Those are cigarettes.
Are they?
Those were the real deal.
1 hour.
American Spirits, I think.
Oh, yeah. See, all non-smokers like to smoke in movies. You do it well, though.
This is a great shot.
Love this shot. Candy's so great. Hey, look at that look.
He's like, I'm supposed to come out there and talk to you now?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many of these, you know, have you had in your life, the like fragile makeup? Are we going to make up or are we still fighting? You
know? Yeah.
I tried to call. It sounded like you were having a bad day, huh?
This is all shot at Raleigh Studios. And, We couldn't afford a real studio, and we got one, but we couldn't afford one, and so we came and begged our friends who were at Monk, and there's the Monk stage that we shot on there, and they let us use it when they weren't shooting. They were great to us, and Randy Zisk and all those guys.
When that man was putting his hands on me, I just...
I don't want to talk about
this. I couldn't believe you let him do that, baby. Look, I know what you did was the right thing.
Love how the scene was written. This,
But I was humiliated.
Apology, no apology.
Yeah. And as she come to... When does that happen?
Come to apologize and just drive the knife in a little deeper.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I've never actually... had that experience, but
me either.
I can I can imagine.
Yeah, seems like it would really suck. I'm sorry I saw that you were an emasculated human.
Understand.
Fun smashing up this store.
Has your father read his policy?
It was hard to do. Actually, I just smashed all the... This guy just went through his left and they just started crashing and smashing and knocking stuff down.
You said that you called the locksmith?
And then they had to, of course, make it safe, so they had to take all that glass out and use fake glass. And
they said that their man told you to fix the door and you didn't do so.
Are you saying it's his fault?
Insurance company is calling it negligence. Not covering any of this.
Love this actor.
Negligence here.
میگه که کوتاهی کردیم هیچ پول به ما نمیدن.
چی؟ No. This store is all we have.
There was a line in there that you took out that I wonder why you took out, where he said, I really wish you hadn't told me about the door.
Yeah.
Because he had told him.
Yeah.
You made it that the company.
No, it just didn't work. Mm. Just there was a couple lines this film, just at the end. It went a little too far. We thought it important in this scene that they'd be speaking both Persian and English.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bahar was concerned that we wouldn't understand. And I said, no, we'll all understand. Look at them. Look at her. Her acting's terrific. She would know exactly what's happening.
Another great cut fall from him going out the door to here.
Yeah. You know, just you plan these things, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. I love this look on Ryan's face. This fake look. Hey.
Everything's fine.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Maybe I didn't tell you, but I've been reassigned.
Yeah, they told me. I just wanted to say good luck, and it was good riding with you.
You too.
I love Matt in this scene.
Yeah.
And that look at that look from Ryan.
He's been on the job a few more years.
Yeah.
Look at me. Wait till you've been doing it a little longer. You think you know who you are? You have no idea.
Yo, Gomez.
Interesting that is it. One of the commentaries. It was suggesting that I really wanted to be in my characters' faces all the time, so I used a lot of close shots, which is true. I did want to be with the characters. But the thing is, we just didn't have enough props in any of these scenes. Like, we didn't have enough police cars in this to go with a wide angle. We had to stack them up and use a long lens. We only had 6 cop cars, and so we had to keep moving them around to give the impression that we had more.
Mm-hmm.
And same with this. This is a piece of chain-link fence, and at the... And we had just a few cars, so we had to shoot down on them. And, well, I wanted to shoot down anyways, but you design the shots and you get exactly what you need, because you can't afford any more. So you notice that a lot of my widest shots are inside. It was often we couldn't, at night we couldn't afford to light things as well. We had light.
I like this overhead shot.
Oh, it's great. I love this. This was originally a long crane shot, which came all the way down into that close-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, oh, that's just...
tricky.
Yeah, just exactly. And just cut to the emotion. But I loved starting with it. Another one of my favorite shots. I love what he does in this.
What was the budget of the film?
All in, it was like $6.5 million plus $1 million in financing, so $7.5 million altogether. But $6.5 million that we could actually shoot with. And since we begged all you guys to do it for next to nothing, we got to spend most of it below the line. Thanks.
It's a beautiful, beautifully designed shot.
Thank you. Daniel Ruiz.
Gotcha.
We were originally hoping to shoot this scene. This is supposed to be, Coldwater Canyon. That's what I intended it to be. And, of course, we couldn't shut down Coldwater Canyon, so we went down to Long Beach and found this hill that we figured looked as much like it as we possibly could.
Call it in.
And then we get home, and we said to shut it all down for 4 days. Of course, we couldn't shut it all down for 4 days. We discovered once we got there, we had to let traffic through and... Yeah, we could only shoot it for a few hours a day, and it was tough. But these actors did great work in this scene.
Oh, Tandy was a saint. What she had to go through here.
We actually rehearsed this in my living room. Turned the chairs upside down, and these guys were just laughing their asses off, saying, "Oh, you can't do it." And then just to block it, just to say, "How are you going to come through the car?" And that. And so somehow, from my living room to this, it actually worked.
Ma'am. Can you hear me? Paramedics are rolling. They'll be here in 2 minutes. All right, get an extinguisher and get that fire out.
Jesus.
Ma'am, are you hurt?
We had two of these cars. We couldn't afford... I keep saying couldn't afford, but it's the truth. We wanted her to drive like a Lexus SUV or something like that, but we couldn't crush two of them, so we went for the Jeep. It was like a 1992 Jeep or something. I said, "Oh, well, hopefully people won't notice it's upside down." And then we had to crush it so that it was. You know, he had to crawl in from the passenger side. Driver's side was quite crushed like that. So that here. And then we created a shell and a second one that was almost identical, so we could get inside and shoot. I love that moment. I just realized it's her.
Don't touch me! Keep away from me!
Her screaming.
I'm trying to help you.
Fuck you! Not you! Somebody! Anybody else!
He has to realize that she'd rather burn to death than be saved by him. It's such a powerful moment.
Get your filthy fucking hands off me!
Stop moving!
No!
I'm not going to fucking hurt you!
Look at the way they committed to that. When you write these things, Bobby and I, we sit down and you put this stuff in your heads and they go, you know, you have no idea if something this is going to work. And then you have two actors like this who come and just dig into the scene and suddenly go, "God, we're brilliant, Bobby." But it's about these actors. It's about the fact that they...
It's about the commitment that you just mentioned. Yeah. That's really what it's about.
Yeah. Love the shot. This is Jimmy again saying, fishing on the other side. I said, "Find his face." He's shooting under her arm. Out the window right now.
Something broken.
Confined spaces.
I don't think so.
Now this was a found shot. We didn't expect this was going to happen. And they got into this. And we go, "Oh my God, it's gold." And I look down and we're running out of film. So you'll notice we actually run out of film on this shot. You'll see the sprockets coming up on the right-hand side. So there it is. There you are. Yep. We ran out of film. So I had to come back and recreate that.
Oh, fuck.
So this is the recreated portion in the second half.
I'm going to have to cut your belt, okay? I'm going to have to cut the belt. It's okay. We're going to get you out. Everything's going to be fine. Look at me. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to get you out of here. Everything's going to be fine.
This next effect was supposed to be done live, but when in the day, something went wrong, so we had to recreate it digitally, this dropping fire. So we had one flame drop, and we did it digitally. They did a fabulous job of that.
Yeah, they really did.
And this...
And the fireball, too, was enhanced, yeah. Wasn't it?
No, the fireball wasn't enhanced.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. And that was shot. They did a great job with that, Ron, these FX guys. But then, oh, the flames inside here were slightly enhanced, and these shots here, that they're back there, so that we had added some of those flames. And, again, Mark Isham's music, just stunning. There's a great story about this singer, because Mark, this is from a sample he found. It's a traditional song, and we used it, and we finally found out that the singer is a postal worker in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And she, this postal worker in Washington, D.C. just now has one of the most beautiful songs in this movie. It's a fabulous voice.
Yeah, really.
What's the language? What is it?
That is Welsh. It's cool. It's okay. Like three or four different languages used in this film in the soundtrack, and Mark just kept mixing them up. We wanted this sort of cacophony of voices.
Mm-hmm.
This scene never existed in the film.
Bill Fichtner, fabulous.
Bill Fichtner. This came as an afterthought because of the scene that we needed to shoot, which you'll see later. Two people got sick the day we were shooting it, and we couldn't get back to that location. So we were stuck, and so we had brought Bill Fichtner in, and we rewrote the scene for him as Flanagan, giving this exposition. And I think it works out great.
We found $300,000 in the trunk of the car that Detective Lewis was driving. Shit!
It was one of those problem scenes. This was the problem scene from the beginning, wasn't it, Don? We just kept rewriting this thing and rewriting it. This is the scene that had to turn, you know, Don's character from one direction to the other. And, It took a while. We finally had to shoot the entire movie and then figure out what this is about.
And figure out whose words, whose voice it would be.
Exactly. Yeah. Because Nona originally had something to try to turn you here, and it just wasn't working.
Brendan too.
Yeah, Brendan too. But nothing to do with Nona's, she's a very gifted actress, but it was like we needed somebody who could say these things. And it was a character who could say these things. And we finally said, well, you know, who's the power behind the throne? It was Hatchet Man. It was the kingmaker. And who was the guy who can say these things that the district attorney can't say? Went, oh, who's this Flanagan character they keep asking about?
I don't see a problem. As it wasn't Lewis's car, the money isn't...
These power brokers that we have in L.A. here.
We aren't going to prosecute a dead man, which means the money internal affairs is holding can't even be considered evidence.
Well, you know, you can do this whole dance if you want.
He just says, I just work with Rick. He never says what he does.
Exactly.
If he's back tomorrow, it's going to say that Detective Lewis was coked out of his head.
And we brought Bill in, and he says, one day, and he had to leave at 6 p.m. for China. He was going up to shoot. So we had the whole thing done. It was great. Again, shooting into the light, the halation of that.
Lack of opportunity, bias in the judicial system, all that stuff. All that stuff. But still, it's got to get to you. On a gut level, as a black man, they just can't keep their hands out of the cookie jar.
Of the burnout.
Of course, you and I know that's
the,
not
the window. It's just blown out completely.
This was the last take of this shot, too, of the scene. This was the last take.
That's right.
What did you say you did for the DA again?
You coach ball down at Compton, am I right?
Oh, please, don't do that. Don't act like you know something about me, okay?
What do you think those kids need?
How was it to shoot this scene, Don?
It was great. I had a great time working with Bill. Yeah. I mean, we just really stuck to it. I think a lot of different levels in it, and it was just really fun to try and mine all of that stuff.
But did you ever step back? I mean, did you ever see some of the things Flanagan's saying? It's like, you know, did it ever sting? Did it ever, even if you knew you were in there, you were just doing a movie, but did some of the shit he says?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking I should slap him in his mouth, you know, one of these scenes. he should get a punch in the face. But I thought he's a lot more, Graham's a lot more, you know, calculating than that as well. And he's like, I know there's a game here. Why don't you just get to the game?
Yeah. Already
committed three felonies.
There it is right there, that look. It's my brother.
Oh, Christ, that's a shitty law. There's a warrant in there.
That's a great read.
Yeah. He had every opportunity you had. Fucking black people, huh?
There's that punch coming.
Yeah, say it again.
Just one more time,
just
please.
Just one more. You're going to eat that coffee cup.
All I need to do to make this disappear is to frame a potentially innocent man. What are you, the fucking defender of all things white? We're talking about a white man who shot three black men. And you're arguing with me that maybe we're not being fair to him? You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe Lewis did provoke this, and maybe he got exactly what was coming to him. Or maybe, stoned or not, just being a black man in the valley was enough to get him killed. There was no one there to see who shot first, so there was no way to know, which means we could get this wrong. Maybe that's what happened with your brother. Maybe.
And I remember in this,
maybe Lewis isn't the only
one. We kept going back and forth between, is that a contemplative look? Is that why I'm looking away? Or have you given up? You said you just really didn't want him to give in. What does
your gun, yeah, mean? Don't give up yet. Don't give up. Not you have to. Yeah, that's great look.
Mm-hmm.
Great look. And this is this part of the scene we were able to rescue from the original scene. Thank God.
So, yeah.
Grant, what do I tell him?
The shot.
You tell me? I'll tell them.
It's so simple what Brendan does there, too.
Well, I think given Detective Conklin's history, it's pretty clear what happened last night.
Okay.
Again, one of my favorite shots. I just love this size.
It's great.
Man dwarfed in there. And there's the light coming behind you.
Before I get to why we're here, I know that many of you have heard that we had our car stolen last night. And as you could imagine, my wife and I...
Again, this is one of those situations where we couldn't afford to shoot in that.
And Gina, that truly
room there, because that room doesn't exist. But we actually never intended to. I always wanted to shoot just in the hallway. And if I'd had the budget, I would have been tempted to try to do the press conference, and then it wouldn't have been as interesting.
No, exactly. It's better leaving that unknown.
Yeah. I guess it's Jimmy operating. I think it's the handheld. Dana, operator, was also fabulous. Dana also shot a lot of those the second unit footage that you liked, the out of focus stuff. Title sequence and that, and it's coming up. And that was my son, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Saying goodbye, Laura.
Remember, I wanted every single frame possible out of that shot at the stop sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any more?
I know. Yeah.
Can he sit there just a second longer?
I know.
Get out the car.
Give me the keys. Get out the...
What the fuck?
Come on. What the fuck are you doing, man?
What?
We actually stole that shot of him looking at his ring, twisting his ring, from a later scene.
Right.
Just before we get out of the car in the cul-de-sac, and we put it in here.
Man, what the fuck?
Get off of him! Fuck you! Shoot him!
Fuck! Blow your head off!
Get off my shit! Shoot this motherfucker, man!
Man, I swear to God, I'm gonna blow your head off!
Stop talking and shoot!
Stop talking and shoot.
Shit, hit the door! Shit! Hey, get off of me!
Those guys really went for it.
Yeah, I mean,
they... Terrence's fists were all bloodied because he, and Chris's ribs were all bruised. He was wearing an alligator, a protective metal vest, but still, which made it worse for Terrence because he was smacking into that with his fists. But they went for it.
There's police chase footage right there.
Exactly. Yeah, Ryan doing his own driving.
Get the fuck out of the car!
You get the fuck out of the car!
Get out of the fucking car!
It's my fucking car!
It's my fucking gun!
The fuck is my gun now?
Then give me my fucking gun!
Again, this is Larry and his bent sense of humor.
Yeah, he's the one who
came. He's the one who came up with the idea of this. It'd be Christmas here because of the, you know, I wanted the to be the coldest day in L.A. And he said, "Well, why isn't it Christmas?" I went, "Oh, that's really sick." Said, okay, Larry.
Hands in plain sight. Step out of the vehicle. Slowly step out of the vehicle.
Looks like a different stock there.
Yeah. Oh, you're so brave. You get out the car, man.
Turn off the engine. Throw the keys out the window.
Fucking want me? Here I am, you pig fuck.
My face down on the ground.
Difficult lighting day because, of course, this took a long time to shoot. And
down on your knees.
Fuck you, man. What are you
going kept going in and out of the shadows.
On your knees and suck my motherfucking dick while you down there.
Do I look like I'm fucking joking with you?
Yeah, that's what you
yeah,
look
it's
like
great.
A fucking joke to me.
This man is making threatening.
Terrence is so good in this scene. And what Ryan does here is just, I love this.
I know this man. Get back. Fuck off. Give me some space. I know this guy.
Get out of the
you
way.
You fucking know me.
Step
Go
away.
Give me some goddamn room. I know this guy.
Man, don't Ryan in there. Me. This is great.
See what's happening here? Do you want to die here? Huh? Is that what you want? Because these guys really want to shoot you.
And Terrence told me when we were just after I cast him that, in fact, he'd had this exact experience. It happened in Santa Monica. It was a case of mistaken identity. And he was at an ATM machine. And he was just getting some cash out, and he turned around, and three squad cars had pulled up. And he just, it was the wrong moment, the wrong day, and he just said, you want it? Come and get me. You want to shoot me? Shoot me. And so this exact standoff, and a guy saved his life. Guy stepped up, and yeah, he didn't get shot that day, but he could have.
Unless you think your wife.
It's amazing how many of these experiences.
Well, yeah, the first cop stop, I'm like, that's gone down. You know, how many times have I been involved in that one?
Then stand right where you are and keep your hands in plain sight. Can you do that, huh?
Yeah, I can do that.
Good. Told this man to stay where he is and keep his hands in plain sight.
This man better be related to you by blood. Because this is fucking nuts.
I need this favor.
Billy Geller.
Billy Geller, yeah, did a good job.
He's got no priors, no warrants. I need to let him know with a warning.
What kind of fucking warning?
A harsh warning.
Sick humor, I love it.
Great delivery.
Yes.
You've been warned, you understand me? Do you understand me?
You want something from me?
Even he's trying to do everything right, here. And the guy's still spitting in his face.
I didn't ask for your help, did I?
Go on.
Yeah, that I can do.
Why aren't you dead?
Exactly. What kind of, am I safe in this vehicle?
Something's wrong with you.
Yes.
I love it. He's driving away with the carjacker.
I know.
Let's get out of here, carjacker.
And Ryan's like, oh, God, nothing I do. I gotta find a new job. Be a postal worker.
Then I could really get to use my gun.
Exactly. Again, Mark's music. Beautiful. It sets that little edge to it. Again, Ventura Court, just off Ventura Boulevard, looking up into the hills, Hollywood Hills.
Look at me. You embarrass me.
You embarrass yourself.
This music cue coming up. Vivian there, my business manager. Yes, in the pink.
Daddy's home.
She's so cute.
Yeah. Again, shooting into the sun. This just destroys the frame.
Love it.
Yeah.
This is another of my favorite shots. Just follow the gun.
So, give me my money.
What money?
Daddy. Pay for my store. Give me my money.
Honey, stay inside. Elizabeth!
Give me my money.
The reindeer across the street.
Money. Give me the truck. That's not my truck, bro.
Elizabeth!
Hey, you okay? You know what? Hey, I got $50. Here.
$50?
You took everything!
Mommy! Coming, I'm coming. He doesn't have it.
Oh, this actress is terrific. Karina, she's just wonderful in this.
Another cross.
The impenetrable cloak, yeah.
You don't even want the sound to be near a kid like that.
Yeah, I know. Of course, we used quarter loads, and she wasn't in the scene when we were shooting.
Right.
But it's still, it's just the effect when you cut back and forth.
The idea of it, oh, yeah. And you had to close her eyes in that long shot, right?
Yeah.
Digitally.
Yeah. Cloak. That's my favorite line in the entire movie.
Yeah, it's a really good cloak.
It's a really good cloak.
It's a great line.
Coming up to another one of Larry's special shots, you put this American flag in the background of the scene, and it was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What does that say? It's great. Like, oh, terrific. Apartment was in South Central, just off Lamart Park, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No stages, no green screen.
Groceries, and that was 2 hours ago, Carol.
Again, welcome back to my house.
Well, you know what? You are one to talk. You go through like 6 housekeepers a year. I'm not snapping at you. I am angry.
My bedroom down at the hall.
Yes, the hall. At them. Yes, at them, the police, at Rick, at Maria, at the dry cleaners who destroyed another blouse today.
What Sandy has in her hand is a framed photo. It's Donna, our co-producer, and Mads, our production manager. And
I would wake up today.
The idea was that she was going to put these in there and see what the frame looked like with these other frames. It wasn't that she was looking at the pictures. She was looking at what the frames looked like. That sort of said who this character was. It was the frames were more important than the...
Than who's in them.
I am angry all the time, and I don't know why, Carol. I don't know why, and I... Yeah. Yeah, call me back.
That really cracked me up when I saw it. And I thought it was Sandy's comic timing that she has that made that that work, you know?
Yeah.
Because there wasn't really the self-pitying. It was like the, okay, call me back. I'd do it to you, too.
Yeah. We originally didn't have this shot in the movie. We went back and added this. It was, she just fell out of frame. And we felt we needed it, so went back. And this is a stand-in, actually. Again, those fabulous shots that Dana did. Resolving on this one with Lorenz.
Cross.
And the cross, yeah. We chose the location for the cross. Coming up the hill. We chose this location because we wanted to going into the darkness. You know, there's these spots in L.A. where it's you go from the bright city to just middle of nowhere. And again, this is the same location. This is that same studio where he stopped. And we stopped Tandy and Terrence pulled them over. And we wanted to give the impression at this point that he was driving, and this next shot, this next cut would say, oh, no, no.
Not him to pick up.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, we never showed the outside of the car in the last scene. Here now, if you really look carefully in video, you can see
Ryan.
You can see Ryan, but you can't see it in the... Actually, you can only see it in video. You can't see it on the screen.
No problem. So how long you been out there tonight?
It's cold.
Hour, maybe.
Big surprise, huh?
Yeah, this ain't exactly pick up a brother territory.
This is probably one of the most difficult scenes.
I was just about to say that. I think this was, Paul.
Why?
No, yeah. In terms of writing, you were talking about directing. I was talking about in terms of writing. I think it was the most difficult scene that that we had for the writing of it, because to have a character turn the way Ryan's character turns, we had to believe it totally. And yet it was so drastic, for lack of a better word, the change. And I think it worked.
It was the idea that this is, you know, this is one of the things that came out from the beginning, is that if this isn't, that intolerance isn't in the heart of the person you think it is. You know, it's in us. You know, it's and Ryan had to represent us. He was the guy we liked all the way through. And when his instincts ran that way, and when he started to prejudge this character, it would take us down their path. And we go, no, 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 we're not like that. And then we go, oh, shit. Well, maybe we are sometimes. And it was he had to travel very quickly down that path. And so his prejudices had to come out very quickly. Little things that one character said to the other fed off the other. The ice skating and he sees the mud in the shoe and the ripped jacket. And
something else.
Starts to realize pretty quickly he's got someone in his car that he doesn't trust.
Yeah, what's that?
Exactly.
People, man. People. People like me.
No.
And he's got a chip.
Yeah, because he's been trying to help. You know, all he's been trying to do is help black people through the entire movie, and they just keep shitting on him time after time. And this guy's now laughing at him. This guy's mocking him. You know, it's like he's been just been trying to do the right thing and be a good guy.
I said I'm not laughing at you.
And I'm not telling you to get the fuck out of my car.
You'll notice that in this scene, too, what Jimmy and I and Dana did was, in post, we slowly brought in more green in the scene.
Put your hands where I can see.
Who the fuck
it starts off normal, and the more contracts and green come in as the scene goes on.
God.
Yeah, what choice do you make now?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to determine the rest of your life.
was not a righteous shoot.
And we're scouting this location, came up here with a fellow from the police officer who was giving us some advice. And we found this location. He said, yeah, and we found a body just down this, right here, a couple months ago. It's a good place to dump bodies.
It's a cold night, and it's getting colder. And we're giving out tickets to the Rodeo coming to Fairplex in Pomona, so give us a call here.
Hey. You okay?
Breathing.
Shit. Heard of my snow.
Get out of here.
That's what I heard.
You gotta smoke.
Quit.
Yeah, me too. What you got?
That kid.
Hey, Bob.
Again, so in those scenes, you juxtapose what just happened there against, now, okay, Ludacris is on the bus, you know, and you sometimes get, you get that titter of, oh, and then you go, no, I shouldn't be, should I be laughing? No. And then, so the irony of, this is, of course, where he'd end up.
Great face.
Yeah. Chris did a great job this movie.
I can't say enough about Chris. You know, yeah. For a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of experience behind him, he gave it all. He said he would from the get, and he delivered.
Yeah. Some of my favorite cuts in the movie coming up right here.
I'm speaking English, you stupid cow.
Tinko!
Oh, Kim Lee.
I thought you were dead. I called every hospital.
Again, Ben Nye, terrific makeup. Wow.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Specific with the scrapes and the, yeah, of being dragged.
Will you do something for me?
Anything.
Go to the locker. The next one. My wallet? There's a check. Bring it here. When I go to the cashier. I get it. When I said get me a black Lincoln Navigator, he thought I said get me a white piece of shit pedal van.
Fine. Fine. Just give me whatever.
There's my car, the yellow Mini Cooper.
Yes.
So I think we used absolutely everybody's car in this movie because we couldn't afford a
rental. Kathy's car was in the second scene, Kathy Sherman.
Yeah.
I'll take the van.
Yeah, I mean, that was Bobby.
In the writing of it, I think Paul and I were talking about the fact that back in 1860, Chris's character, Lorenz's character's great-great-great-great-grandfathers were in the same position as these people in that van there. And I think that's where the concept first came from. Am I wrong,
yeah,
Paul?
That's right, and they just didn't make him face that. You know,
exactly.
Can he do that?
This is your family you're talking about, whether you like it or not.
And he's the conscious one, so it makes sense that he would stare at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this shot, too. I love this. But you guys, the two of you there, the pain that's in that frame. And with Jennifer, her reaction is so wonderful. Look at that.
Yeah. Absolutely heartbreaking.
That embraces. Killer.
Story.
And this is what Dory does at nights.
Oof, I love that.
Yeah.
It just hurts so
this
much.
This is one of the most powerful scenes, I think, at least from personally in the movie. Yeah, I'd love it.
Oh, baby.
Just the injustice.
Mom. I promise you. I promise. I'm going to find out who did this, Mom.
Oh, I already know. You did.
Oh, Beverly. Wow. I love this look. Look at this.
I asked you.
This dawning realization.
Busy. We weren't much good to you anymore, were we? You got things to do. You go ahead. I'll sign the papers.
So powerful.
I just want to wait with my baby.
Mm. And you ain't him.
Exactly. And he just, yep, he just got that. This moment here.
Yeah, that's probably the worst moment in the movie.
For yeah.
My little boy. When I was sleeping, he brought me groceries. It's the last thing he did.
Look at that. I'd be brave for her.
Yeah, you know, I'll gut it.
Yeah. God. Yeah. In that moment, just know.
I'll gut it.
Yeah. Look at that.
Baba.
Love the lighting here. Jimmy's lighting is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the reflection out there. You see the graffiti.
Yeah, still there. Yeah. Go home, Arab.
Yeah. Towelhead, I think.
Yeah. Towelhead, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do? Baba, what did you do?
I shoot a little girl.
What?
No, she's okay. She's here. And the gun shoot her. But she's okay, Tori. Nothing happened.
I love the light in this scene. Propped up against the freezer's there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Daddy?
I finished it, Tori. My angel.
Great, yeah. Angel. Lighting here was terrific. This is Dayton, his work and art, Griffin Gaffer. They just did such fabulous work on this film for nothing. The look they got, you know, with Jimmy, it's amazing.
Take this, please. Take it. Hey. Everything is okay, Tori.
I don't know why this scene always gets me so much.
Yeah.
How did you do this, Michelle? It's
the hope. You know,
And the empathy in her.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just to be told your father just shot somebody, but she's okay. It's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. On this redemption now.
Yeah. And this is the look right here coming up. People always ask this question, you know, did she know there were blanks or not? It was the look that says, yes, she knew.
Yeah, she knew.
She knew.
She bought them.
And there was another thing is that people said, you know, oh, those blanks were only on the scene for a flash, a second. You know, I think people are smart. You don't need to leave them on long. We had a lot longer, and it's insulting to people. I love Sandy and Brendan in this scene. So small and yet so specific.
Getting a massage.
In which they both realize what their relationship is. You know?
She's been my friend for 10 years.
Great choice to laugh at that.
Yeah.
I'll be there soon.
Love this coming up. This moment.
I love you.
I love you too.
Right there, the way he said I love you too. Ah.
And then the look. Looks over to Nona to say what?
Yeah, exactly.
And she knows. You look at her face, you know that she knows.
Yeah. So here's the question. Were they having an affair or not? And we're not going to tell you. It's up to you.
That's right.
That's the whole thing, is if you get to decide.
But I love that she's the light closes on her, the light on her face.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, no, I think it says a lot. I think it's pretty obvious.
Would you like to sit up? Good.
This moment when, it's one of those things that Sandy's, she's so in this. This is like her first take, and she's just so in this hollowness and desperation of this woman. Realizing that, seeing that, looking into that tunnel, and
this friend I've got.
She's got this, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. And right about here, the camera falls off the track. So we take it right to the last second, and then thank God we have enough. Yes, right there, it fell off. Then she laughed, her wound broke up.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Something happens. See it coming.
Yeah, going from real time into slow mo. Back and forth.
Thank
here.
You.
Yeah. Bird York.
Yeah, Bird did a great job with the song. It was amazing you played it for me.
Yeah. This look between the two of them.
Look how long am I going to have to endure this?
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
I also love Brendan in this moment. It's very simple again. He's just looking out the back door saying, you know, am I really safe? You know, should I change those locks again? And after all that. And same here, you know. Family sleeping here, and he's looking out saying, you know,
where's that bullet?
Where's that bullet? Exactly. Is it still out there looking for her?
Mm-hmm.
I like this moment when he sees, what the hell is that? This was shot live, and then this was added digitally. Music couldn't get that light sprinkling. This is live again. Live effects.
How'd you get the one to fall perfectly on his shoulder right
there? That was such, it was a piece of happenstance, and then he rubs it and we take it out.
Do you see what it is?
We see it's ash. Yeah, Luma did a great job with the effects on this. They added the ash rather blowing and augmented what we weren't able to do. Of course, Ron and his crew were able to do quite a bit of the actual effects. This is all what we shot.
What I thought was interesting, what we found with this, Paul, was he found out who he was again. Matt says earlier,
yeah.
You have no idea who you are. This character finds out who he is in this scene again. He goes home.
And the irony is that it's in front of the car where
exactly.
A man died and was shot. And,
exactly.
I love those moments in life where you're just one person's death is another person's salvation.
I love you.
Life keeps tumbling your heart in circles. Mm.
This is part of a long crane shot that I was originally going to use, and I actually put in the movie because it was so cool. And then after we cut the movie, I went back and I said, no, I can't do that. I need this shot of Dawn, this close-up of Dawn. It tells you so much more than that cool crane shot. So we went back and did this. I just used the front and the end. The crane shot just said, look at me, I'm a director. That's how the crane shot ends right there. But that said who the character was. It was... So obviously, It's much more important to be in his face. Love to watch you guys thinking. You know, that's...
Well, again, the great thing about that, this is a character who thought he knew he was through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And now he finds out he's somebody else.
Or he questions, right?
Or he questions, exactly.
Yeah. Flipped it for what? Yeah. Still lost his brother.
Exactly.
There you go.
And we are in Chinatown. Now, Larry had to add a lot of this, and as did Art and Dayton, and but that's our Chinatown. Now you're this I love those two ladies. They're walking across the street and said, "Oh, I want them! I want them!" Mm-hmm. So Kathy asked them if they'd be in the movie, and we paid them, and they walk across my scene. It was great.
Come on, now this is America. Time is money. Chop, chop. Come on, y'all.
Love that. Time is money. He's great, Chris.
Come on.
Actually, we had a lot more planned for this. The immigrants touching things and being jostled by people, but didn't get a chance to shoot at all. I think this suffices.
That's $40. Buy everybody chop suey, you understand?
Still.
Don't be fucking China.
Hasn't learned a thing. Has learned everything and nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact he's just so pissed at himself for doing the right thing, and then he goes, "Oh, what the hell?" Sort of felt good.
And I got a van out of it.
Got a piece of another tricky shot. This was.
Yeah, looked tricky. Yeah. Couldn't do that too many times. Yeah. Huh?
Plus, you had to have stuntmen in those cars, driving them, and those actors had to switch out the last second.
Yep.
I love the idea of bringing Loretta back at this point. America. Our helicopter shot.
There's a cross.
Yeah. Yeah. And our snow. That this all came from a time in the 70s when it actually snowed in Los Angeles. And I figured, you know what? If it can snow in Los Angeles, anything is possible. Maybe there's actually hope for us. And the movie was dedicated to Anita Addison, who was the first person to read the script, and as it said, a great friend and a very unique human being. So we all miss you, Anita. So maybe tomorrow. Well, we're all going to sign off here. This is Paul, and that's...
Bobby Maresco, thank you for watching the movie.
Don Cheadle, I hope this B-roll commentary was somehow informative and fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it again, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Peter to rub ya. Wrong way, hate to hate to love ya. Sad state, can't win a debate with dub ya. Especially when the company cap is Kenny Lay. Meanwhile, sweatshops paying pennies a day. Big bank, take little bank anyways. Why the country's always going to war for many days. Got Bush playing family, few with the time. Survey said, oops, you out of time. We the only ones allowed to have nuclear bombs. Guaranteed it won't be another Vietnam. 9-1-1 ain't a joke no more. Nowadays, it's a whole different approach to war. Been out of been hiding out of Pakistan. If you want to be heard, better clap your hands. Come on.
These problems, they yours and mine. We all pay for the crime. It's time we learn to be back. Divide and no turning back. No more excuses and lies. It's only two to survive. It's time we borrow the doom. All of tomorrow with you.
Now, too fast, these bastards imitate. Newsflash, the gas has been a fate. I won't promote blacks, and it take MJ's mojo when passing Timberlake. That's why Mike hung his little boy out to dry. No clothesline, like he's about to fly. No store, just kids falling out the sky. Why the boss in the standby shout and cry? Outside with the cops and the paparazzi. Couldn't walk a mile in Mike's Sirachi. Pain's a disease and we all infected. Think that it's not, but it's all connected. Can't understand why these folks are greedy. So I'm making a bet, still bought the CD. Why they play Timberlake on BET, but won't play PE on MTV. Got radio damn near a shambles. Monopoly ain't no game, it's clear channel. So I write words that I rap for fans. If you want to be heard, better clap your hands. Come on.
These problems are yours and mine. If we all pay for the crime. It's time we learn to react. No hiding, no turning back. No more excuses or lies. Since only truth will survive. The time we borrow is due. All of tomorrow is you.